So Diesel, final hour of the week, and I can hear you right now going, no, Sturge, you're a day early. You said you've been thrown off all week, the way things have gone. No, it's because Clemson baseball scheduled to take place 4 p.m. first pitch tomorrow in Oxford, Mississippi. And, of course, they're taking on the University of Illinois, and what's appropriate about that? That's one of my first three names when it's our college football question of the day. What school needs a coaching change? Not coach on the hot seat. I'm just saying, call it like you see it. This school, I started off with Southern Cal. I've got Illinois with Lovie Smith being 9-27 in 3 years, and then UConn hiring Randy Edsall. So, Diesel, you've been back there doing your thing fast and furiously and everything else. But college football is, I think, outside of cross sports, is your favorite. It's your favorite sport. You keep up with it. You were just telling me, hey, there's an App State player on the cover of Phil Still's magazine this year that just went to the printers yesterday. But off the top of your head, or after sitting here listening to this, is there anybody that you can come up with? I don't care if it's Sunbelt, one of your rivals, but what coach in college football just flat out needs to go?
Well, if you ask 129 teams, it's Nick Saban.
Yes, and if you ask 129 teams, it's Dabo Sweeney as well.
Yeah, so but, true. Now, there's a whole lot in the Sun Belt that need to go. Sean Elliott at Georgia State really needs to get it going. I really had higher expectations for him after leaving South Carolina. I thought he would have done really well at a Sun Belt team, but he really hasn't. UL Monroe really needs to get it together. There's Texas State really needs to get it together.
Now, I can let you know, in mentioning Georgia State, they just announced earlier today their first their home game with Furman on September 7th will be a night game at 7 p.m. So, Furman fans out there listening, making the trip to Atlanta, maybe you don't have to go down on Friday, you know.
And it won't be so blazing hot.
Yep. That's why South Carolina fans are going to be upset with this news.
You know, I'm really excited to go see what Georgia State's going to do with that stadium. Yep. I mean, a lot of people went last year and the year before and said, the stadium sucks. Well, it's not ready yet, yeah. You know?
Well, South Carolina fans might not be as happy. They might be a little hot. It was just announced 3:30 kickoff for their opener in Charlotte with North Carolina.
Oof.
Noon kickoff in week number two on the SEC Network against Charleston Southern. Then 3:30 kickoff, which we announced yesterday with Alabama. So here's
if you're going to play Charleston Southern, they're not going to. Of course, it's going to be a noon kickoff.
But I'm just saying, you know, South Carolina used to put their whole schedule around night games back in the day, so especially at home. But college coaches that need to be fired, you mentioned a couple. How about this? These are two names that might. Number one, next on my list is Michigan. Jim Harbaugh talks and does more than anybody out there, but he's got a big, fat offer in the game that he needs to win, and that's the Ohio State game, correct? I mean, hell, that cost the previous Michigan coach his job as well. So if Ohio State transitions from Urban Meyer to Ryan Day and continues to beat Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines, then yes, he's maxed out a program at the bottom of the top 10, which a lot of schools would sign up for, Diesel. Michigan thinks they're better than that, and this is their own guy, and they've cut him some slack. But if the Ohio State takes you out this year with a first-year head coach, then I think Michigan has reached their ceiling when it comes to college football with Jim Harbaugh, and it's time to make a move because you know what? If you're going to talk as much smack as Harbaugh's talk, and you're going to do all the little things that Jim Harbaugh's done to tweak people, then you best win and win at the game's highest level, not be looked at as one of the more overhyped teams. Because is that not a kind of a fair way to look at Michigan right now? We overhype them because we expect at some point Jim Harbaugh's going to get them to the promised land, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen.
Well, everybody was hoping that it would be worth it. You know, that's the whole thing is, sure, you're going to get a guy like Jim Harbaugh, but is it worth it? Is it worth dealing with the kind of a jerk that he is? Is it worth dealing with his antics? So far, it hasn't been.
Well, sometimes antics, people do that kind of thing to bring attention. You know what I mean? P.J. Fleck at Minnesota needs to go through some antics to draw some attention to Minnesota, a different Big M. Harbaugh shouldn't have to do that at Michigan. The big M on the black, on the back of the scoreboard, everybody knows that's Michigan. You see their helmet, everybody knows that's Michigan, unless a certain group of population that lives in Delaware. But my point being, when you're that identifiable in the game of college football as Michigan is, yet has underperformed more years than not. Hell, they only got like a half national championship in the last 30 years, but we put Michigan up on that pedestal. And right now we do it because Jim Harbaugh's a Michigan guy. But I'm telling you what, keep talking the smack and pushing people's buttons. And when you can't beat Ohio State this year with a first-year head coach in Ryan Day that replaces Urban Meyer, let's see how the Michigan fans feel from that point moving forward. All right, Diesel, one final one. And I came real close to eliminating this after what has happened this past week. But you know what? The topic is not related to the tragedy that took place at 7 o'clock Saturday night in Auburn, Alabama, when the voice of the that's exactly what Rod Bramblett was, is the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and he and his wife, Paula, come to an untimely ending of their life Saturday in a bad car wreck. But let's be honest, Gus Malzahn, you know, it took a couple of miracle plays that you couldn't keep throwing quarters in the wishing well over to ever see happen, which was a bad decision on Bama's part in trying a 56-yard field goal. Just go try to win the dad go. Throw a Hail Mary if you get it, and by God, you get the pass interference penalty, then try the field goal. If not, just go win a game in overtime that you missed multiple opportunities to win earlier. So the other one was when they beat Georgia on the tip pass that should have been batted down. Those are magical moments. Those aren't coaching moves. You know what I mean? Had they gone the other way, Gus Malzahn would probably be gone already. But I know my friends at Auburn and a group of people here in Greenville that are Auburn fans. They fancy themselves more than a 7-5 mediocre SEC team. And that's what Gus Malzahn has delivered most seasons at Auburn. More 7-5 than the run that they went on that required two magical moments. And you can't rely. Those are moments that quite frankly, Auburn fans will never forget, and rightfully so. But you can't recreate those moments. You can't rely on those moments. And right now, there is a wide gap between Nick Saban and Gus Malzahn. So I really thought hard about bringing up Auburn after what took place, but you know what? You got to continue with life. You got to continue with the topics. And I think Gus Malzahn is probably coaching for his Auburn life this year. Let's go to the phone lines. Todd, who's a coach that needs to go in college football?
Well, in my opinion, I wouldn't say this year, but looking at their schedule and – but as of next year, if something ain't done, being a Gamecock fan, I'm just highly disappointed in Muschamp and think he needs to go if he don't do something, because I've not seen nothing out of him since he's been there.
You know, I can't disagree. This year, like I said, if he gets South Carolina to a bowl game, Todd, that's a great achievement. I hate to apply this to you. This is the way I've said it. South Carolina's year is a little bit like an NCAA tournament. Survive in advance. You know what I mean? And who knows if you can get off to a hot start. But I think for you, Todd, as a South Carolina fan, I think Josh Kendall's article in the state newspaper last week hit the nail on the head. He's got to have a moment this year. It's year number four. He's got to have a moment like, you know, you had when he knocked off number one Alabama by two touchdowns with Steven Garcia. That was a moment. And I think you got four or five opportunities to have those moments this year: Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and whoever. But my point being, that's what's going to give you a good feeling heading into a much, much more navigable schedule in 2020.
Exactly. And I agree with you. It's going to take a good year, maybe an exceptional win to get them to a bowl game. But right now, honestly, if they do make it to a bowl game, I would call it a miracle. And I'm thinking next year would be his hot seat year.
Yes.
And if he don't do it, then it's time to make a change.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, Todd, because his recruiting's gotten better. You got one of the five-star Zach Pickens last year from right down the road at T.L. Hanna. Marshawn Lloyd, I hear nothing but great things about him. Now, you need more of those, no doubt about it, but you're finally seeing some of that pay off. So, I again, South Carolina may fool us all, but I'm survived this year, and if you get through it, then maybe good things are there in 2020. But I don't mean – I hate – it's just the way I see it. Don't mean to be disrespectful from one fan base to another.
Oh, no. And I believe I heard you say it maybe a week or two ago when we were talking about the rankings of the recruiting class. And it's nice when Muschamp can get a top 15, maybe top 20 recruiting class, but it's really doing you no good when you've got – 6-7 teams that you're playing against that's above you. So, I mean, it's...
Listen, it's a tough situation. You know what I mean? And I still maintain, and it will apply to one of our questions next week, somehow, some way, they have done a great job in trying to fix up that area around Williams-Brice Stadium. Now it's there forever with the football. But South Carolina, much like NC State, would benefit from a true on-campus football facility.
Exactly. Well, thank you for taking my call, and I hope y'all have a good evening.
Thank you, Todd. You have a good weekend as well. We'll come back. Let's talk a little different style of football. But first, let's give you your 6 p.m. keyword. It's time to shine. We're getting into discussion for college football. It is time to shine. S-H-I-N-E. You text that into 72881. You got a chance to win $1,000 free and clear on Intercom. Intercom Greenville, N-E-S-P-N Upstate. Two winners locally in the last couple of days. Text shine to 72881. As we like to say, you can't win it if you're not in it. You know, last time I caught up with them, we were sitting at Smoke on the Water. That was a lot of fun, but let's welcome in our friend, Coach John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph Soccer Club. Yes, our new club in the USL. And Coach Harkes, how we doing? Because for a first-year club, you guys are learning each other, learning how to handle a new franchise, yet your guys are still competing their butts off. They're tied for fourth in the league in their inaugural season.
Yeah, I agree. And first of all, hello, how are you? It's great to be back on with you again, and thanks for having me on the show. We're moving, you know, at a good pace right now. I mean, I'll go back to the way you opened up. It is a learning experience for everybody, for the club, for the front office, for a lot of the younger guys that are in our team, in our roster. And look, at the end of the day, we know it's a process. It's going to take some time. I think we're pretty content where we are right now, but we're not satisfied because it's early on in the process. And look, we're playing some really good soccer, entertaining, very creative. We're creating more opportunities on goal. And the next step for us is just, can we, you know, start putting teams away and not give them a chance to hang in there with us? And, you know, look, it's part of the early brand new club, a brand new season. And we've got to be patient with that. But it's going really well. The guys are great. The community's been very good. It's been receptive. We're bringing in fans. We want more, of course. Mm-hmm. We always want more. Again, it's a work in progress. So we want to make sure we're still getting out there and doing our work.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, if you want competitive games, I mean, good God, sign the Greenville Triumph. Either your wins or your losses have all been by one goal. I mean, you're 3-4-2 overall, so the two stands for two ties. But every single other of those seven games has been a one goal. So, you know, are your guys going to feel more comfortable the second time around the schedule, if you will? Because, you know, you guys were finding out as much about yourselves as you were where you stand in the league in the first half of the season.
I completely agree. It's such a great point. It is a road of discovery, both for us and for the other clubs. And look, there's other clubs in the league that have a little bit of an advantage, whether that be maybe by the budget, or also by teams being together for 2 years or 3 years,
right,
maybe in an amateur status, and now they've taken 12 to 13 of those players off that roster and now transitioned them up and added a group. So the chemistry is there. And as you say, you know, it's a good point. I mean, we're still discovering each other's personalities, strengths, weaknesses, everything about it. And sometimes that unfolds on the field. You know, the number one thing for us right now is to continue to build on what we just did the week before. And you're only as good as your next game. The same thing in the approach. You're only as good as your next training session. So we're making it competitive within. Yeah, the guys are playing well and they're doing well, but I'm expecting some better things ahead, and that's going to take time.
So the next home game, Saturday night, Legacy Early College. Listen, it's on 900 Woodside Avenue, a beautiful new facility that has been constructed. It's off near Woodside Mills. You can see downtown from right off in the distance. And you could – correct me here, Coach Harkes. You take on South Georgia this week, this weekend, 7 p.m. Their home, Legacy Early College. But are they known as South Georgia or Tormenta? And if it's Tormenta, is that because they torment the opponent on the field?
Yeah, from their perspective, you would think that, yeah, the marketing, the brand, and the advertising worked out well for tormenting other people. But they do go as a nickname as Tormenta, South Georgia Tormenta, for sure, together. But we played them twice already, one in the opening game for us away from home, which we lost 1-0, and then we beat them at our place at Legacy in the U.S. Open Cup tournament, which is a knockout tournament. And we beat them, and we did well. So look, we're starting to get to know each other. They're above us in the table right now in the league standings. They're one of those teams that benefit from having a franchise already put together 2 years ago. And so they transition a lot of their players in. So you can tell the chemistry's there and the understanding. So, look, we've got to get familiar with each other still. It's going to be a big challenge. And they're going to be looking for some revenge factor for sure. It's going to be a competitive game again. And going back to the results, yeah, we've been so close, you know, to breaking out and having 2-goal games and 3-goal games. And we've created more opportunities in the last 3 games than we did in the first 4. So you see that progress. And we're keeping it tight. Our defense is very good. We're organized in a tactical sense. And now, can we just have that, you know, kind of pay off in the final third in and around the goal? And it's the hardest thing to do in soccer, score a goal. So we're looking to get breakthrough there, hopefully, this weekend. It'll be a great, great time to do it.
You know, Coach, for a brand new franchise, you're doing exceptionally well. I mean, you're 3-4-2 right now. Most teams don't achieve a near 500 record in their first year as a program. What's your message to the team, to those players? Is it keeping them focused so things don't sort of fall off the rails, or is it fine tuning things to flip that 3-4 to a 5-3?
Yeah, I think it's the paying attention to the details in training, making sure that we are having every time we step on the field that we're looking to learn something new. So you have a growth mindset there. Understanding as well to be even keel, you know, through the ups and the downs, the adversity that comes with it. And that it's a longer process. Slow and steady wins the race is what we're trying to, you know, kind of get across the message to them on a daily basis. And so we see their frustrations too. I mean, look, the coaching staff sometimes gets frustrated. We got to learn to control ourselves emotionally. And when you target that and you realize that that can sometimes control you in a negative way, you can stop it. You can control it. So we're trying to push things in a positive way. They're doing a good job. They really are. And they're working the tails off. I mean, in training every day and off the field with video and analysis. And it's been great. So it's a work in progress, as you know, and you know, we just got to keep them going in the right frame of mind for each time we step out on the field.
We're talking with Coach John Harkes, head coach of the Greenville Triumph in their inaugural season. So, Coach, I noticed after Saturday night's game at home against 7 p.m. against South Georgia, there's a 2-week break until y'all come back on the 15th against the Lansing Ignite. So, me trying to put two and two together and connect the dots, is this sort of the midseason point which allows players in the USL to take some time? Because your goalkeeper, Dallas J, he's going to be part of the Guam men's national team here in two matches on June 6th and June 11th. And that's big international experience for these guys. You know what? We saw game number one of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals the other night, and it took Boston, who had been off for about 9 days, at least a period to knock the rust off.
Yeah, it's true, and you have to be really careful with that. The time period that you get off, and this is a good bye week for us coming up the week after, where we want to be able to rest some legs, but at the same time, you don't want to have complacency creep in. And so, look, the games are going to be coming really fast and furious just after that. The midpoint of it, we're almost at the third of a season right now, so we're still early. But this just comes in a bye week for us, which is great. So we got to take advantage of it. We want to keep the balance. We want to make sure that we're staying sharp and fresh in terms of our details and work rate. And but at the same time, you need that balance both physically and mentally away from the game, so that when you do come back in for that next home game against Lansing and Knight on the 15th, that we come in with a fresh approach. And regardless of the result we get this weekend, we got to make sure that we continue to work on the plan for the next game after that. So, yeah, it's going to be important to get that rest. It comes at a good time. We've been going through quite a bit. We have a smaller roster, so that may be something in probably 4 to 6 weeks from now we want to add to it in the next transfer window when it opens up and you can re-sign players again. So, look, it's a balance. And, you know, if we could use that to our advantage in this next week's break coming up after Saturday night's game, we got to be smart with the way we do that.
Yeah, because Dallas, I mean, he is tied for third in the league in goal. Dallas J is. 9 games, only 6 goals scored, including 3 shutouts. So that's big for him, but he will be doing some traveling. Also, comment on Omar Mohammed. He was named Team of the Week honors in the USL this week, and he just seems to be developing a lot of confidence for you in the Greenville Triumph.
He is, actually. I'll take your first question from Dallas J. First of all, it's a big honor for him to represent his national team
in
Guam. And, yeah, it's massive. So you don't want to stand in the way of that opportunity. So it couldn't come at a perfect time, really, for the break. He'll be away 11 to 12 days and a lot of travel as well with 2 games there. And so we're just lucky that this has happened at the right time when we have a bye week and we can afford to let him go. We do have, of course, depth in that position, 2 other goalkeepers that are dying to get in and compete for that spot. So that creates an opportunity maybe for them to work harder in training while he's gone. The second question in terms of Omar Mohammed was, he was a young player that I picked up in Cincinnati when I was coaching at 16. When he was coming out of the U23 Columbus Crew, Major League Soccer's academy system there, and he was a young 18-year-old player. So, you know, this is still a young guy that's still developing. And in the preseason, he picked up a big injury that kept him out for a long period of time. So to get him back, get him healthy, get him some more games, we're starting to see his confidence shine, like you mentioned, but also his game fitness and sharpness that comes with just playing games. And so we're seeing some good spots that he's picking up right now, and he's doing a really good job. Plus, he's going through Ramadan right now. He's very strong in his faith and he's fasting. So we got to make sure we also balance that. So add that to the equation. And he's up against a lot of adversity right now. And he's a great young man and he really manages himself well. So I'm really excited for him.
Well, Coach, take this opportunity to shout out a few more of your other players and team leaders, because I can tell you, I actually have several of your players as my next-door neighbors. They're super classy young men. They're hardworking. I see them in the gym on their own time working hard. I mean, you'd love to have a roster of, say, being able to say that every single guy is a leader in their own way, but shout out a couple more of those guys.
Sure. I mean, there's guys like Devin Lee, Kevin Paulitz in the back, who has been an absolute machine every single week. Tyler Pollock, Cole Seiler, Aaron Walker, Jake Keegan, a lot of guys like that. And then you sprinkle in even some of those are more of the veteran guys that have had some experience in the pro ranks. Some of the younger guys coming through like Omar Mohammed, Chris Bermudez, that are able. Carlos Gomez, who started, I thought the last game, Carlos Gomez is really getting fully fit now and conditioned. Spanish player that was at Young Harris College, a smaller school. Mm-hmm. He's really starting to take the game, you know, in a positive way and actually dictate to others. So, you're seeing these guys really starting to blossom. And you don't want it to come at a point where everybody's still, it's too soon, but you don't want it to happen too soon. But I'm happy to see it evolve in the right process. And they're doing a great job. So I just believe in them, and they got to believe in themselves, and that's the number one thing.
All right, Coach, again, Saturday night, South Georgia, the Tormenta. You can go to GreenvilleTriumph.com. You can get tickets or come down to Legacy Early College, a great facility there in the west side of Greenville. But next time when we get together, smoke on the water on a Monday, because I'm going to make sure that happens. You know me. I do my prep work, and then I like to kind of ask one question. Have you seen the new progressive commercial where the hockey team's playing and they have the walrus in the goal, and he blocks another shot and the other opposing team's playing? It's a walrus! At what point might you affiliate with the Greenville Zoo, and what would be the most appropriate animal to put back there in goal? Would it be an elephant, a hippopotamus? I mean, if you could do that, what would you do?
Oh, that's a great question. It's between do they have spider monkeys down there?
Yeah, I think they do. Yeah. So
if I could get a spider monkey in goal, because they got to be really dynamic, sharp, and quick, but also the hippopotamus being a big
right.
target. You can't get past them. I mean, can I get a combination of that?
That'd be great. Hey, in this DNA world, we can accomplish. But I just love that commercial, because they end it with, no sleepy. The best way to never give up a goal is don't give up any space in there. So I just thought I'd throw that one out. But, Coach, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Next time, let's get together in person on a Monday at Smoke on the Water again. And, I challenge everyone to get out there. I've heard so many people, our Saturdays have been a little bit crazy here, and I'm going to try to get out Saturday night. But, like, man, you come down there once, you're really going to be amazed, and just so happy to be part of the Greenville Triumph, the success that you're having. And, hey, you're already in good shape, nothing but room for improvement.
Well, thank you, sir, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you, and I really look forward to Smoke on the Water. Sitting down with you was great fun, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. See you Saturday night.
All right.
Looking forward to seeing you Saturday night. Thanks for a great time tonight on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right. There's Coach John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph. Listen, played for our national team, played two daughters, just played at Clemson. The first American player to score a European Pro League goal in Wembley Stadium back in the day. I mean, listen, you have no idea how lucky Greenville is to have Coach Harkes here, and he wanted to be here. So do us all a favor. Go to GreenvilleTriumph.com or go to Legacy Early College. Buy tickets there at the stadium and support this team. Why? Because the man wants to be here, and that's half the battle when it comes to that level. We'll come back, begin closing up shop. Listen, we talk college football. NFL's up next. NFL Players Union, shut your mouth. DeMarie Smith, shut your mouth. Don't even breathe it, because you know what? This is a real intolerant time. So, Diesel, is it fair to say, and listen, everybody's opinion is their own. Like we said, opinions are like backsides. Everyone's different. You know what I mean? But what is one of the intolerant things going on in this country right now is how you make too much money. Is that fair? Is that one of the big topics of discussion right now is, depending on what side. But the left side wants more of it going to other places. What do you think they're going to feel about the NFL Players Association head DeMarie Smith he sent out an email to all the NFL players that says, plan and save for a work stoppage of at least a year in length. So the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL ends at the end of this season. So that's why DeMarie Smith is telling, they want a bigger share. I'm not saying that's wrong for these players. Right now, I'd probably be more worried about making sure that health insurance policy stays in place for the rest of my life. But what I'm saying is, what's going to be the reaction to a bunch of guys being paid, $80 million on a four-year contract? How's that going to play in today's volatile environment that people don't want that? You know what I mean? If you make money, you're bad. That's kind of a lot of what's going on here. So how are we going to feel like for people that play athletics and they take a year off in a strike? Do you think there'll be very much sympathy in this regard?
None.
Because you're getting ready to find out what people actually believe. If you're wanting, oh, you can't make that much, this much more needs to go here, moving money around, but you don't want to affect your favorite sports team, then guess what? Maybe you don't really believe what you think you believe. I promise you, this doesn't end well if they don't get it right. And they better work this thing out before we ever get. I don't think the temperament of this country is going to put up with, hey, I'm getting cheated, making more money than most people will ever think about. And granted, I'm not criticizing football players. I'm criticizing the thought process that if you're that great at something, maybe you should be paid more for it. But I don't think this ends well for the NFL nor the Players Association if they don't get this thing worked out during the season. Because what did it take to bring baseball back the year that they went on strike, 18 years ago, and cost themselves a World Series? What happened in baseball after that actually brought eyeballs back to the game?
The steroid era.
You got it. You got it. It took cheating off the field when it comes to steroids. It took a home run chase that almost felt manufactured between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa with juice balls, juice players, a watered down league when it comes to pitching. It took that to bring Major League Baseball. It took that whole Tom Glavine talking about, you remember the commercial he did for Chicks Dig the Long Ball? There's a thing. You put that commercial out now, all hell's breaking loose. You can't call us that. My point being, you better be if you're the NFL and you think people are going to feel sorry for you and you think you're going to go on strike and you're going to come out looking like the winner in the public eye, no, nobody's going to come out looking like a winner. People don't have the tolerance for this. I'm of the proponent that you're screwing yourself if you aren't out for yourself and trying to get everything you can to take care of your family while giving back and not screwing people over. Same thing when it comes to, but I'm telling you, take a year off of the NFL. And the only people that can hurt themselves right now, Diesel, the NFL, is the NFL and the Players Association themselves. It's what it comes down to. So, guys, don't do it. It's a bad look. It looks like you're planning for it. I get what it looks like you're threatening the NFL in hopes of getting them to play ball. But what it is, it looks like you're planning for it, and the message is already out, and I don't think people are going to be tolerant.
I ask you this question, Sturge. If fans somehow decide that they're not going to watch the NFL anymore, where are they going to go? Where else are they going to go? They're not going to watch hockey because hockey has its own very insulated fan base. It's growing slowly, but it's not anywhere near where the NFL is in the level of popularity. Or are they going to go to the NBA where the parity sucks and there's three teams that have a legitimate shot to win it? Probably not. Are they going to go to baseball where baseball's boring and attendance is falling off week in and week out? Are they going to go to college football where it's three teams who actually have a chance? No, I don't think it's going to affect their attendance or their viewership one bit because fans will support the sport that they love, and this, when it comes back, they'll say, oh my God, it's so good to have it back.
Yep, but one-third will be out. One-third will be out.
But I ask you, where are they going to go?
They'll find something
they
else
have nowhere
to do.
Else. They have nothing else to watch.
People gave up baseball for life after the last strike. I know guys that haven't watched a baseball game since, and they will do the same thing with the NFL. Believe it or not, there's activities out there. Go fishing, which you like to do. Go
you
do
expect
this.
People to go outside? You are crazy.
You know what? That's what kids do. They go outside. They walk around with their phones. What the NFL, those people don't probably care about the NFL anymore. It's older guys like us in our 30s that want that moment off. And trust me, a third of them will do that. They'll slowly come back, Diesel. But if your ratings drop by a third, your sponsorship dollars drop by a third, that is a great way to hurt your game. NFL will always survive. It makes, what, $9 billion a year? But take away a third of that from people going. Because trust me. They're out there, and I get it.
I don't know.
It took me 5 years before I'd take baseball again.
If fans have proven they will continue to buy jerseys when the NFL allows their players to beat the crap out of their wives, I don't think taking a year off from football is going to stop them from watching.
Well, you can do it. I think as you get older and you find out parental responsibilities and other things, this is not the crap that you're going to want to delve into. And you know what? We're actually season ticket holders with the Panthers. I was told by my father the other night at dinner, if they were to go on strike, that's the end of those season tickets. Now, that's his decision because they're his name on them, but he gets the right to make that. Listen, we are in a hotbed topic. Hotbed topic with social media and everything else. A strike will hurt the NFL. It will not kill it off. They will rebrand and regroup and come back. But trust me, losing revenue by a third or a third of their fans, that's a bigger hurt than people realize.
I'd actually like to see it because maybe it would be the NFL's opportunity to recalibrate back to the common fan. Because they are not supporting the common fan anymore. It's so insanely expensive to go to a game or to buy a jersey that – the common fan can't afford it anymore. That's exactly what's killing NASCAR.
Right.
Sure, you can have a lot of fans watching on TV, and that's great and all, but you need fans in the stands. I mean, wasn't there a rule for a long time that the NFL eventually had to come off of over the last two seasons or so? If it's not a sellout, you can't put it on TV?
Yeah, within a local, 100-mile radius of the local market. Yeah, something along those lines.
They had to relax off that rule because most teams can't sell out their stadium anymore.
And that's going to continue. I mean, let's come back. We'll continue. You can now have a beer at a Georgia football home game this year, but you'll be amazed at what it's going to cost you. All right, welcome back in. Diesel, this looks like our final segment of the week because it looks like good weather over in Oxford for Clemson and Illinois. So we will be off tomorrow. Game number one of the NBA Finals tonight, 9 o'clock. 8 o'clock, we'll start pregame coverage here on ESPN Upstate. Now, going back to what football teams need a new head coach, on Twitter, Jack gets in, South Carolina, Florida State, USC. If they don't do it this year, it hurts because I backed Helton in Pittsburgh. Now, you know what? I wouldn't mess with Pittsburgh on there. I like their head coach. Number two, he's one of those deals. They're finally getting smart and building a pit in on-campus stadium because they are the afterthought when it comes to the Steelers stadium. So, Pat Narduzzi, he's managed, and he's got one big moment knocking off Clemson there in Clemson. Joe Foster gets in Auburn and Florida State. So, seems like a lot of people are thinking Willie Taggart may not be the guy for Florida State. Seth gets in Illinois, USC, maybe Florida State. So a lot of those coming in at Sturgis Sports. You can also hit us at ESPN Upstate and on the text line at 72881. So, Diesel, you know, we're talking about Georgia is allowing – Georgia's going to be the first school in the Southeastern Conference to allow beer to be drank during a game in their stadium.
Cool. Beer vendors saying ice cold Bud Light here.
Sorry, that was Dr. Pepper.
Man, you just have a fantastic way of killing the momentum of a joke.
I was just sitting there trying to think who that was, and you know what I did? I'm not sure.
I'm talking about the guy who walks up and down the stands with beer on his head.
Well, no, it was Price showing up as the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
dude,
and it was me who told him that it was a good idea, and he's the one who took the costume. Carry on. I'm not bitter about it.
Bitter beer guy, right? What? No, bitter beer face.
That was Keystone Light.
Yeah, okay. So Georgia will be selling beers at their football stadium this season. The only people eligible are donors who donate $25,000 over 5 years. that beer has to be consumed in a special area and cannot be brought back to their seats. Holy cow, $25,000 over 5 years to drink a Bud Light. That's why they have those metal things called flask, or now plastic things called flask. I don't know. That's a lot of money. Now, Georgia's brilliant. What are they doing? They know that they split money with the beer company, with the vendor for the stadium, and then they get some of it for sales. But if you get people to up their commitment to $5,000 and more per year, guess what you – how much do you think Georgia keeps of that? All 100%. But this is the way it's going. You said it's the first step.
Yeah, it's always the first step. I mean, everybody's, oh, this is so stupid. How I mean, who's going to pay that? It's step one, man. They got beer in the stadium. Eventually, the rules will loosen just a little bit, and then it'll start trickling its way out into other parts of the stadium. Trickle down beeronomics.
That's the smartest thing you've said all week. So let me ask you this. What's more important? Because it's all becoming about the in-stadium experience. You know what I mean? With 70-inch television.
Got to do something. People are flocking out of that stadium left and right.
What's more important to you, Diesel? Beer being sold or good wireless? Because I'm the good wireless guy, not the beer. But I'm 51 and I don't drink beer anymore. I drink Crown Royal. So what is more important to you, the opportunity to go buy beer for $8 or to be able to look down on your phone and catch up with something that might be going on?
Give me that Wi-Fi.
Same here. And that's one that they haven't been able to fix. Clemson put those Wi-Fi towers up a couple of years ago. That's just something they hadn't been able to figure out. And, that's something they all better jump on, because if you can't get online with this generation, yeah, I watch it. Kids right in front of us in the press box, they're on their phones half the game. But they might be checking other scores, but if you're patient for a few minutes and you wait, hell, you could barely get updated scores back in the day. Now they're flashing across the bottom of the scoreboard and they don't change. So that's what I think is most important. But, yeah, smart move by Georgia. Show that you're loosening the reins, but you're going to have to pay if you want to enjoy. And we get to keep 100% of what you pay to be able to purchase that beer. So it's going to be fascinating. Diesel, lots of fishing planned, I suspect, here over the weekend, huh?
That is true, but I won't tell anyone my fishing spots.
Ooh.
That's the rule, man. Ask any fisherman. They're not going to tell you their secret spots.
I can be bought off. I know one or two of them. But, no, listen, y'all go have fun this weekend. I'll be here just checking on the weather tomorrow. Right now, everything looks great. Clemson versus Illinois, 4 p.m. in the Oxford Mississippi Regional at Ole Miss. So we'll give way to the Clemson Network here on ESPN Upstate at 3:30. NBA Finals, Game 1 tonight, 9 p.m. tip-off, Golden State at Toronto. My pick, Warriors in 6, will join the ESPN pregame coverage at 8 p.m. In the meantime, Stanley Cup is tied Saturday, game number 3, Saturday night in St. Louis. So there is a series that's going to get really physical and really ugly. And that's the way I like it, like Slapshot. Last night, happened to be on television. That's one of those movies I'll stop and watch a few minutes of every time. Diesel, so great to have you back. We'll Monday through Thursday with you next week. Pants comes in on Friday, and then the following week while the Sturgis family goes on vacation. Have a blessed weekend.